So let's just sit rather quietly to begin, remembering the practice. So really listening outwardly as well as inwardly. Sometimes in the instructions, when you hear somebody say something about their fabulous experience or in the inquiry, comparing mind arises, and you think, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel the joy or the bliss or the contentment or anything else. And so that response needs to be looked at. Okay. That response needs to be looked at and seen into. A couple of people said they were struggling with some kind of resentment or stuckness or feelings of contraction. If this is the case, it's a perfect example for an inquiry. So you are invited. So again, if you are having difficulty, you put the attention inwards to the direct sensation in the body and make the attention very soft and caring, and track and massage the contraction you feel within. I'm just clarifying that because I have a pile of notes about this high and I just can't answer them all. I'm sorry. I'll do my best. So with the form, there's a cushion for one of you and an invitation to come with a question. Yes, you're wanting to come. Okay. Let's begin. Hi, happy with the recorder?
Yes.
Okay. If you could please say your name. Inat, okay. And speak rather loudly so that they can hear.
It's a recollection to what you just said.
Yes.
It's like I'm having a little child in me.
Ah, yes.
And it really needs recognition.
Yes.
I know her well for long years, for many years, and I just know that sometimes it's really all over me.
Yes.
Like I can shrink it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All these things when she's find them. But I think it's something that really holds me between liberation, because it's like it's the self I'm clinging.
Yes.
I'm being okay, beautiful, because I'm thinking I'm smart.
Yes. You
know. And doing well, I used to work at this.
Yes.
To be in a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like it's like my Mara.
Okay.
It's a demon, she's kept coming.
Okay.
And I don't know really how to settle her down, because I know why she's there, I know what. I know she needs love.
Yes. So she's the memory of the child who experienced pain is within.
I don't know if I feel pain anymore.
Good news.
So
okay.
With her.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just, it's like she's coming from time to time, and it's like all over me that I have to do, and there's times that I even not paying attention that she's there and that I'm doing stuff to, it's like
unconsciously acting.
It's like Little Shop of Horrors. It's like the tree there that always needed to feed him.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm trained as a psychologist, and in therapeutic work, people often do work with the inner child. And the point of this work is to give love and care and kindness and see that we can be with that traumatized part of ourselves from the past. And sometimes this has an extraordinary result in that our sense of woundedness begins to fade, begins to heal. So that's the work of therapy. From a Dharma perspective, what do you know and see? Yes. Yes. So give up the clinging right now. Yes, done.
Okay.
Fantastic. So we cling, we can cling to the past, we can cling to the idea. But when we've done the therapeutic work, we set the child free. From a Dharma perspective, there is no inner child, actually. Because childhood has finished, it's ended, it's in the past. If there's no self, is there an inner child? Or if there's not self, rather, not no self, but if there's not self, if we see that the sensations and the thoughts and feelings are not self, can a memory from the past continue to have such a hold on you when you clearly see? I can hear that you see. No. Yes. Fantastic. Fantastic. Good news.
The problem is it's not a memory.
Yes.
It's not a memory anymore. It's not hard feeling towards anyone.
Yes.
It's like my mom. It's not nothing. Like, it's just.
What is it?
I'm in a group. Okay. So I can feel the thing that I have to work to be loved.
Okay.
And I know it's a story.
Yes.
But it's kept coming.
Yes. So, right there, this is good news. It is simply a residue of the habit pattern of the mind from the past. That's all. So when you're in the group, you see that's coming, the tendency, oh, I have to work hard to get people to love me. Then you go, ah, I know this. I know this story. I don't have to get stuck there anymore. Because you don't have to work hard to get people to love you. No need. No need anymore. So right there, in just the seeing of the residue from the past, is your freedom. Whenever we are steady with a sankhara, a tendency from the past, whenever we're just steady with it and we don't act according to the tendency, we are weakening that pattern. We are weakening that sankhara. So, right now, do you have to work to be loved? Okay. Tell them. Look at them. Look out there. No, no work necessary. There's love coming at you. Yeah, not at all. So you've seen, you've done the therapeutic work. I'm not undervaluing or undermining the therapeutic work. It's fantastic work. But we do reach a point, as you have, where you go, oh, I see clearly now. And I see clearly that something keeps coming back, and enough. So, let go right now of the idea that this tendency is lying in wait for you and it will come up again. We only think that because the familiar pathways of our mind and emotional world are so familiar to us. Because actually things are ever new. What's your response?
Yes. If I could just, it's like telling myself, okay, hi, I know you.
Yes. Yes. So do it now. Just let it go. Don't wait for next time. We really need to rest in our understanding. You understand. Mm-hmm. I heard it. I felt it. It's just a pattern, she said. Yes. And you see it and know it and you don't need to live bound to it because you know where it leads. Hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Be free. Yes, anybody? Yes, come.
That's scary. I'm all. I've already kind of written to you about this.
Yes.
And your reply.
Yes.
Still, I want to talk politics.
Yes, do, but please.
Not really. Just lately, I feel like I could lose my home, and it really gets to me, and I'm full of fear, and I ask you, how can I face this reality using the Dharma? And you said to be the voice of peace, which I think is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering whether If I feel like there are people trying to hurt me or my lifestyle, can I just sit in peace and wait for it? Or
what else could you do?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes the way is to resist.
Could you say a little more about the situation in terms of losing your home? I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that from the note, by the way.
I feel not that someone is going to take my home physically from me, but that life here wouldn't be the life that I want to live, and I'll have to leave. And I can't really see myself living somewhere else. It's really difficult.
Oh, okay.
So maybe this is the question, actually.
Yes.
How can you feel at home?
Mm.
Like, in a way that's not conditioned. Other people's behavior.
Yes. So you're saying, how can you feel at home Here in Israel at the moment?
No.
No?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Wherever you have to be. If Israel changes, how can I still be at home?
Okay. What is your true home?
People around me, my family.
Yes. What else?
My culture.
Yes. Family, culture. What else? Yes. Have you ever had that experience meditating where you really feel as if you've come home?
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Say a little more about it then. Yes.
When I feel like I don't have to change, and I feel like I'm accepted.
Yes.
I guess it's the sense of being at home.
Yes, a sense of being at home. You don't have to change anything. As you are is fine. So is there a contentedness there? Is there a contentedness there? When you really touch in with your own heart, there is. What was the feeling you had in the instructions this morning?
That's a lot.
Yes.
I thought we were talking about letting go this whole week, but yes, only when you actually said the words,
yes,
let go, I felt like I was really letting something go.
Yes. And can you let go of the thought, I might lose my home?
Should I maybe even let go of the thought that I have to keep my home?
I think we as human beings all need to feel at home and to have a place we call home. I think it's a basic kind of longing for a place to call home, a sense of belonging. I don't know anyone who doesn't have it. I come from Australia, and in Australia our Indigenous people never see themselves as separate from the land. Never, ever. It's just not a concept they have. They see themselves as part of the totality of things. So yes, we need to have a sense of belonging.
Isn't that meaning though?
Can we belong? And can we know that sense of non-separation without clinging?
I don't know.
Okay, this is your work. This is the answer to your question. So when you let go, when I gave you the instruction about relinquishment, what happened? Tell me again. It was breathing in, contemplating relinquishment, breathing out, contemplating relinquishment. What happened?
It wasn't really belonging, because maybe my understanding of the word belonging is I belong somewhere, or I belong to someone, but that wasn't the feeling, because the self is in that thought.
Yes, okay, go on.
And my experience was of just being.
Yes, beautiful. So when we just be, we can drop all ideas of I belong or I don't belong. And then there's that wonderful feeling, isn't there? Where problems cease. So when we drop the notion of self, it's paradoxical. When we let go, it's like we gain peace. So when we let go of everything, all of our ideas about how I am, whether I'm good enough or not good enough, whether I belong, whether I don't, my fears about the future, when we simply let go of all of that, there's very easily a sense of, you called it just being.
But doesn't that mean that we're going to just let things change and not try to...
That doesn't mean... That doesn't mean that we live without any ethics. It means quite the opposite, that we live with this ethic of non-harming. And when we need to sometimes act with compassion, we also need to stand up and be the voice of protest. It's necessary sometimes, but not with aggression, with love, with care, with right intention and right action. That's the difference. So we don't fall into helplessness because we let go. We feel incredibly empowered when we let go. It's paradoxical.
Yeah, it's like there's, once I know that I'm going to be okay because...
Yes.
Because I can feel this belonging.
Yes.
Wherever I am.
Yes.
Then I can act.
Yes.
With more confidence.
Yes, exactly. You've understood. So we have to trust our inner understanding and inner knowing. And we let go into it. We let go into the freedom. Okay, thank you. Yes, anybody? Yes, come.
So my name is Sivan. And there was something you said this morning, just by the way, I think, which caught me. And that was about the love for someone who died.
Mm.
That the love doesn't die.
Yes. Died,
but he did. And to inquire about that. I'm not sure exactly what my question is. I have to say that my father died when I was 7.
Yes.
And I guess I've been loving him ever since.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though he's not here.
Yes.
And even though the love is mixed with some anger and other stuff because he killed himself.
Oh, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
And he never left any letter or something.
Oh, so it's a very painful memory.
Yeah.
Do you remember him clearly?
Not quite. I knew him only for 7 years, and it was half of the time away.
Yes, yes.
He was a sailor.
Okay.
So I do have I remember some things, and as they passed and I was working on it, I got to understand that I can feel him, I know.
Yeah.
I remember feeling him next to me.
Yes. Okay, so there's a beautiful memory of him being with you.
Yeah, I guess it's beautiful.
Oh, is it or not?
No.
Or was it different from that?
No, he was a good dad.
No.
Yeah. I guess it all mixed up with the thoughts and feelings that aroused.
Yes.
After he died.
Yes, of course. So, right now, where in the body does the grief sit? Yeah. So put really loving attention there, and we're all sitting with you. We're with you. So is there a belief that's resting there in your heart?
What
a belief associated with the pain that you're feeling. Did you as a child, I wonder, conclude anything about the fact that he took his own life?
I guess it did bring a lot of guilt, a lot of shame.
Okay, oh.
Lots of trying to avoid, especially male friendship.
Yes.
Especially older male. It was really hard to be near teachers. Or
okay. Because you feared you would lose them if they cared for you?
In the first few years, I can remember clearly that I was crying when I was privately with a man,
oh,
a teacher or something. I just started crying. Which I couldn't do in front of my family, by the way.
Oh, okay. So this is very painful for a 7-year-old. Have you looked at a 7-year-old boy lately?
Yeah.
They're so small, so tiny, so vulnerable. Yeah. And it's a big burden to carry. So could you put down the burden now?
I was just feeling the same of thinking that Maybe. I hope not. Maybe you got some. I don't know. You were talking about the love that never dies.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We're coming to it.
But, yeah, but still there's the pain that comes with the love.
Yeah. The absence, yes. Okay.
That never dies, maybe too. No,
I don't know. Uh-uh. We're not finished yet. Yeah, that's the belief. That's the belief. I'm stuck with this pain forever. So your father was unable to choose life for reasons we don't understand. So it's not that he didn't care or didn't love you, but sometimes people suicide because life is just too painful. And there's that, they don't see at the moment that there's countless ways out. So, as an adult, you understand that now. Yes. Of course. So, back with the belief and the pain. Can you put down the burden now? You can for minutes. Oh, that'll do. We'll start there. So what would it take for you to put it down completely? To say, this whole chapter of the death of my father has finished.
I think I know.
Yes?
I'm not sure it's the right answer. I mean,
oh! the answer's for you to find. I don't know it.
Yeah,
so what would it take? What comes to you?
Yeah, I think relationship with my older brother is something that somehow keeping the construction.
Yes.
Because we never really talked about it.
Oh, okay. So perhaps talking with your older brother would be a step. So the two of you, how much older is he?
Just 3 years.
So a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. Oh, bless you. So tiny. And then as adults, you've never spoken of it. Okay, now it's time. So there's one thing that you can clearly do. Not allow the pain to silence you.
It's so funny, but I have to say, whenever I'm thinking of talking to him.
Yes.
Like the psychotherapist or whatever asked me, why is it so hard?
Mm-hmm.
I say, I don't want him to see me crying.
Ah. Okay, and here you are crying in front of all of us, and it's no problem whatsoever. Okay. So now coming to the love. You said in the beginning that you felt love. It was mixed with all these other feelings we just spoke about. Say a little more about the love you feel.
For my dad?
Yes.
I can't say much more.
Yes. But it's there. So the love is there. It's felt. It's known. So your father's in your heart as love.
Say again?
Your father is in your heart as love.
Yeah. I can say that I'm a father for 9 years.
Yes.
Ago, no.
Yes.
So, and she's, by the way, very interested in my father.
Okay. Yes.
So I can see what it is about for father.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how they know my body, I guess.
Yeah. So the love is felt and known. And with the love, of course, comes courage to do what you need to do in order to complete or fulfill or end.
I wouldn't say of course.
I would. Okay. The love is there. The compassion is there. The care is there. You're a father, a loving father to your own daughter. And sometimes this is the healing too. What's happening in your inner world?
Maybe it's doubt, but I thought, what if love is this love or another? It's just a story.
Ah.
Maybe I'd be better hating.
But that's not what I've heard. Just the thought, the I thought. Just the I thought, the voice of doubt. Oh, would be easier to hate. It wouldn't be, actually. Okay, so now, just looking at all of this, you have some action to move forward with your brother. You have something to voice and speak about. So you're speaking about the loss and the pain of the past, but you're speaking about it from a place of love and care and understanding. That's really important. The love is ceaseless, but the problematic comes to an end. And that's because love is the expression of the understanding of our natural freedom of heart. Thank you. If there's one final inquiry, we can do it. Anybody else? Ah, come. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Leo.
Yes.
It's a bit similar to what Or shared, but from different angle. So yesterday, in the evening sitting before dinner, I had the most wonderful sitting. Really, I don't think I experienced something like this. I got into this blissful state way before you get jealous. really, these tears of joy came from my face, and I felt this light inside me. It was beautiful. And I was like on this cloud, all this Kabbalah Shabbat with the Sabbath and in the evening. And then we got to the Dharma talk.
Oh, yes.
I'm not blaming you. but there was some harsh truth.
Yes.
And I start hearing that I'm connected to everything, not just the water and waterfalls and the wind. But also what we do to the earth and what we are suffering of the people here. And I was so sensitive at the time, so I started feeling it really physically. And started pain in my chest. And then the more it went, the pain got to different parts of my body. And I realized that you're right. What you were saying, that the only chance we have is to wake up, otherwise.
Yes.
And in the background, I heard the Arabic music. I love Arabic music. No problem with Arabic, but. But in the same time, it was very like manly, like Allah, 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 like this, which is very like aggressive, muscular. And in the same time, you were talking about this, and I was like, we don't stand a chance. We're doomed. We're doomed.
So you went straight into dramatic and catastrophic thinking.
I was like analyzing the chances. I was like, what the percentage of people here actually experience it? No way everybody will wake up so we can stop this. So I guess we're doomed.
Not if I have my way. Everyone will wake up.
And then I was all night. I couldn't sleep. I was like nightmare. My roommate, sorry, I couldn't say it before. But it's real, like the pain, the fear is real. And I have a 5-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And I'm imagining a world that she would live in if not everybody wake up, which will not happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it got me really, like, physical pain. So I'm just wondering how, like, if you become sensitive, so during the practice, so you can experience the light, but you experience the pain much more. That's one thing. And the other thing is, as a spiritual being, I understand what you're saying, finding the inner home, and I'm caring. But as a biological being, I will do anything to protect my daughter. And and I they don't meet.
Okay, so just going back a little bit, you had the blissful experience, then you had the painful experience, both of which ended. What's your what's the wisdom associated with that? What's the insight? What I kind of observe from story is that your ordinary sense of self was quite shaken up. There was quite a shift within. This is good news.
Yeah.
Okay, so next step. There's pain, there's difficulty, there's joy, there's love, there's beauty. How can you be with life open-heartedly? How can we meet life open-heartedly? We have, there's so much difficulty in this world. I'm not denying that. And I also don't want to throw it at you all the time, but we can't ignore it because it's the truth of things. So we need to find a way of meeting it. And in retreat, we are super sensitive. That's not the ordinary experience of everyday life. It is a rarefied atmosphere here. The point is, how can we meet life? Understanding our capacity for sensitivity and love. When you were in the depths of your pleasant meditative experience, was there any pain anywhere or any difficulty anywhere? Any mental anguish at all?
No.
Absolutely none?
No.
No. Was there any suffering at all?
No.
No. What else did you understand from that experience?
That it's possible, that it's, I can reach it.
Yes.
But in the same time, I'm enjoying this blissful state, which makes me not alert, protecting what I care about.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just enjoying this blissful thing, and but when I'm supposed to be, I don't know, doing something. Or...
Okay. Come back to it again. You are. What does the fact that we can enter a blissful, unproblematic state tell us about how to live?
It's possible, but when I'm in this blissful state, I don't want anything.
No, no, no. It's just stay with it. You don't want anything. There isn't anything missing. There's no suffering. So you touched the end of suffering in that moment. The experience, the blissful experience ends. Of course it does. We can't live life, you know, open to that kind of bliss all the time.
Buddha wasn't like this all the time?
I don't think so.
No.
I think what he described when he was asked what his mental state was, he described equanimity, so he, which is steadiness in the face of all things, an unwavering steadiness that isn't easily shaken. When he was talking about entering the depths of meditative, blissful experiences, which you just entered, he said those experiences come to an end. They finish. The point is, there is wisdom that we can reflect upon that this experience can show us. Follow? All those sensitive, deep meditative states come to an end. The Buddha learned from his teacher, Alara, how to enter all the jhanic states. He learned how to enter all of the deep jhanas, which are meditative, blissful states. He also learned how to enter all the realms, But he knew that they were not liberation itself, because those experiences would begin and end. So they are not in and of themselves liberation, but they speak to us of a wisdom. This is what I'm interested in, and this is what the Buddha was interested in too. They tell us that there is peace. They tell us that there is a sense of interconnectedness. They tell us that there is a sense of the boundlessness of this life. They tell us that the self we construct is just constructed, because in that experience, was there self? Was there me? No. So the wisdom is the key thing. So, looking at that very experience, what did it tell you? What did it show you?
It's possible and it's reachable.
And you can know peace.
And I can know peace, but what about my daughter?
Yes, yes. We're coming to that. You can know. I have children too. This is it. And grandchildren. It's a serious dilemma. So here we are. We know peace. We know how to live with a peaceful heart. We know how to live with kindness. We know how to live with compassion. Did this experience feel like truth to you?
Yes.
Yes. Say a little more.
It's true, but also the pain felt real.
Yes.
Both of them felt real. In a way. Both of them start and end also.
Yes. Okay. Both of them. And how do you know they both start and end?
Because they ended.
How did you know the bliss? How did you know the pain?
Looking inward, feeling, sensing?
Yeah. Close.
What am I missing?
Just sit with a moment, looking inward, sensing.
Experiencing? Other words for it. I don't know.
We know it because we're aware. Okay. So the awareness goes with you. The capacity for the knowing, for the sensing, goes with you. It's not bound to either experience, not bound to the extreme. What then? You're so close. You see the bliss. You see the pain. You see the beginning and the ending of both. There is a knowing. Awareness is the knowing faculty of the heart. It's our capacity to know. What is it that's known? Deeply known. It's all right. Just stay with it. Just sit a moment. Question is, what is deeply known? What is the knowing that you can touch? Knowing of pain, the knowing of extraordinary bliss.
Ask
can you call a friend? Okay. Okay. So the ordinary self, the you, has been shaken up by these experiences. Okay. But you've seen something. You've seen something that you felt was truth. And the truth actually frees us up. It frees us. That's what truth is. Sets the heart free. And then, of course, the next question that comes is, what about my daughter? What about that? Then that's where we need to reflect and inquire. What is right action? How can we meet life? How can we set the intention and act? Right action is in accordance with the right view, this clear way of seeing things. And right view is that living insight that rests in peace. It's full of peace. So our actions need to be in accordance with what you've experienced, which is the truth of things.
So the action can be staying in the fear that we are doing.
That's right.
That's not the solution. Just doing what I can, just doing what I like, being connected and just doing from the truth inside, something like this.
Beautiful. So not acting from the fear, acting from truth. And then our actions are pure-hearted, intelligent, wakeful. Thank you. Sitting together for a few minutes. With the first inquiry, we heard about the relationship to the inner child work, which is often done in therapy, and then seeing and knowing when to break free, when to let that go. So having a wise relationship to thoughts and memories from the past and being rather steady with any kind of residue of difficulty or trauma that arises. And the more we're steady in the face of that, the more and more free we become. And it's really about seeing clearly and not clinging anywhere. From a Dharma perspective, as I mentioned before, there is no actual inner child. It's an idea. It's a thought. I once rather famously said, the inner child is dead from a Dharma perspective, but that might be a bit harsh. It's wisdom to know when we've understood what we need to understood, what we need to understand from our therapy and from our therapeutic work. And when we understand, we then act with the freedom. With the second inquiry, we heard the beautiful letting go into just being. when we're not grasping anywhere. And it's a beautiful experience, and we need to let go over and over and over again until the heart is truly free. And with the third inquiry, we were rather privileged to witness the tenderness and the sorrow and pain and also the love. When we lose somebody, there's a whole mixture of feelings usually, and it can be very difficult. Yet, there can be a sense of the endless that we have. We can have a sense of that which can never be lost. And this understanding is expressed through the love. Love, in Dharma terms, metta, friendliness, kindness, unconditional love, is boundless. It's both liberating and liberates. So love is a practice to free the mind, and it's also an expression of the heart mind. And I want to thank you for your bravery and courage. It was beautiful. And then with the fourth inquiry, we just had that. We don't need to go through all the steps again. But there's a deep wisdom and understanding that comes when we're touched by truth. And the wisdom and understanding is how to meet life where we're not bound to fear. So we meet it with our freedom. We meet it with love. We meet it with kindness. We meet it with openness. But we're awake, connected, aware. Thank you all four for the inquiries, and thank you very much to each of you over the days for your extraordinary attention, because that allows the kind of depth, and it's rather a rarefied atmosphere, I know, but I really can feel the beauty of the love and care. So thank you for that.